Hey, fuckers. I keep hitting a wall. Like, I don't know what to talk about. Like, I had so much shit I wanted to say, and now I sit around and try to remember what I said because I don't want to say the same thing over and over and over. And I want to get, like, creative ideas, you know? Like, I want inspiration so I can put out a product worth listening to. So I sit around, my thumb up my ass, trying to figure out what to say, and I can't. So I was whining to Yogi this morning. Hi, Yogi.
Hello.
About inspiration and how I can't find inspiration, how I can't find creativity, how I'm just in a rut right now, and like how to break out of it. So, what did you say to me?
Yeah.
Because I forgot already.
I know for me, this is where, well, first of all, do you think you're a perfectionist?
No, absolutely not. Not in any possible realm of anything am I a perfectionist.
You think I'm a perfectionist?
I think you have very high standards for yourself.
Yeah. I know for me when I'm struggling myself, very similar to what you're struggling with, and I know where mine comes from, and it comes from the need to be perfect. And if I can't do it perfect, be perfect, I don't, then I'm just going to avoid it. I'm just going to brush it under the rug, procrastinate, because I need it to be perfect.
See, my buddy Deuce rides me via Messenger all the time. He's like, dude, just create. You just need to create, create, put shit out there, create. And then I find myself, you know, like making podcasts, talking about what I had for lunch, like anybody really cares. But, you know, I'm trying to make these good enough that people would listen to them and share them, and other people would find them because it's a topic they want to hear about. Because I'm super passionate about PTSD and mental health and all these things. But it's interesting to me because I don't feel that perfection's ever been a thing for me. I mean, I think I've talked on here about how I feel about goals, and Yogi's very, very aware of how I feel about goals.
Yeah, we don't talk about those
We
anymore.
don't talk, goals is a dirty word. So I believe in attainable standards. And I accept that attainable has to be good enough. I think there were times in my life where I became frustrated out of perfectionism. I know when I was a kid, and I would have these very creative images in my mind, and I wanted to share them, whether it was through drawing, whether it was through, you know, art projects, whatever. It would always drive me nuts because I could never do it.
Right, you can never get it out the way you
Never.
saw it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I never understood because there were people around me that could.
Yeah.
But then they'd struggle with creativity. Like they didn't know what to draw. You had to tell them what to draw. You had to describe it. Then they'd draw it. Like I have this perfect image in my mind of like whatever spaceship it was at the time I
Yes.
wanted to draw or whatever it was. And yeah. You know, so I think out of frustration, yeah, I was pretty average at a lot of things when I was younger. Pretty average.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with hockey. All I wanted to do was be a hockey player, and I couldn't skate. Like, I was horrible. I was the worst bender out there. I was terrible. Coach finally told my father after a couple seasons, like, yo, you need to do something else with this kid because hockey ain't it. You know, like, start saving for college because there's no scholarship. And this kid's, no, it wasn't even that. It was like, yeah, this kid just sucks. Get him off the ice. And, you know, so I never, you know, when we'd race at school, I was usually towards the end. When we'd climb the rope, I'd never get that high, you know. And I think as a protective measure, eliminated perfection from my life. Now, I had other things that I was very skilled at. And to me, those things weren't important. You know, my reading comprehension was off the charts. I could go through books in a day, you know, and I mean, like, was incredibly intelligent, but to me that didn't hold any value. because they don't make movies about people that can read books fast, right? So I think some of my self-esteem issues kind of started with that. At best, I was average. You know, I was average height, average build, average hair, average this, average that. And gym class just shredded me of my manhood, just shredded me of any pride I would ever have. I mean, I played sports, you know, and finally, I got in the swim team and did okay there. I mean, again, was average.
But I think a lot of us are, though. You know, I mean, I don't think that when I think back of my childhood and, I mean, I joke.
Says the captain of the girls' volleyball team.
I joke about that. You know, like, I mean, yes, was I? Like, I was, you know, I mean, but I wasn't that great. You know, I look at these kids now and they're like, they run circles around me. But I really think I was average. I think most of us were average. But I think that because we were so insecure and we were always comparing ourselves to others, that we always made everybody else so much bigger and better than they really were. I mean, think back to some of these kids, like back from, you know, when we were our younger days. I look at them now, I'm like, you weren't that great. But back then, boy, did I think you were. And boy, did I think I sucked.
You know, and I get the pleasure, and I try to be a humble guy. Like, I really want to be humble, but I'm going to take this moment to, you know, be a little arrogant here. But having served in the military, having deployed a few times, it's really fun for me when I go home and hang out at the local bars and bump into the kids that were so much better than I am, who are now, you know, working as an accountant somewhere, losing their hair, all this shit, you know, and here I come.
Yeah.
Just back from Afghanistan. Yeah.
I'm sure, yeah.
That was kind of a cool feeling.
Cool. Very cool,
and, and, you know, I don't talk about it. And, you know, one of my favorite memes I ever saw was this. I don't know if this is true or not, but it was a general talking to a group of people, soldiers who were about to go on leave, and he says, and when you bump into that protester out there, that anti-war protester, just nod and wink at his girlfriend because you both know she's dating a pussy. You know, and I kind of had that attitude, and I knew in my own head, you know, it was my victory. It was simply my victory. And then, you know, the conversation would come up, and then it was always that, I was going to join, but, and I just smile and say, oh, yeah, sure, I get it. Yeah. Right. Bummer.
But you did.
I did. How's that accountant job working out? Oh, you're a manager at Lowe's. Rock on, dude. Sweet. You know, because in my life, I think that I always wanted to be the guy in the movie. I always wanted to be Indiana Jones. You know, I wanted a legacy, and I wanted to be extraordinary. And I'm pretty proud of the things I've done and the things I've accomplished, but I've given up on being extraordinary. I'm quite happy to just be a member of a team now, and I don't need buildings named after me or, you know, anything like that. And I mean, once I took that pressure off myself, that immature juvenile wish to be famous.
I was going to say, is that maturity or humility? What
I think it's just,
that?
It's probably reality and maturity. Yeah. You get to a point where you realize the world is not about you. Right. And what does success look like? Because I'm not trying to trash the manager at Lowe's. That's a job. That's a career. And they've done what they're doing. And as long as you have a roof over your head and you're providing for your kids, I mean, that's success,
that's all that matters, right?
Mm-hmm. That's success. Yeah. We all have our faults. We all have our demons. We all make mistakes. Whatever, but at the end of the day, you know, living your best life, being as happy as you can be, contributing to the happiness and the well-being of your family, I don't think there's anything else you really need to ask for.
Right. I agree.
Except for motorcycles. Motorcycles and hockey. Maybe deer hunting. Obviously sex. But I mean, you know, it's a short list.
Yeah.
So, I don't think I deal with perfectionism. You know, I'm a slob. I'm happy when I can find things.
Yeah, that is a good day for you.
That is a good day for me.
Yeah, that is a good day for you.
But I mean, that's my level of perfectionism is putting everything I'm going to need in the same place so I can just find it and go tomorrow. That's my perfectionism.
I had this grandiose plan for March, right, for part of my social media platform and my ascending light. And, you know, I was finding myself being too interested in getting on my social media and scrolling through Facebook and, oh my God, I think we've talked about this before, and TikTok and all of that. And I'm like, you know, I'm avoiding something. What am I avoiding? I need to really, you know, pay attention to that. And so I gave myself a little social media break, and I thought, okay, within this, I'm going to use this, and I'm going to get material from this, and I'm going to post about it, and I'm going to, you know, it's going to be a great month for my social media platform. And I didn't really do anything. You know, part of it is I did get sick. I've been struggling this past month with sick and then bronchitis and everything. So I wasn't feeling really up to a lot of it. I was very mindful of my social media. I stayed off of it for a while, as you know. Like I was not scrolling.
Ever seen a junkie try to kick heroin, that's what Yogi's like without TikTok.
Oh my gosh, it's horrible.
And then like I just happened to like open something that somebody would send me from TikTok, and she'd be leaning over looking at my phone like could have been a TikTok on like installing a trigger, but she was so excited. Oh my God, it's TikTok. That's funny. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No, but it's true though. I mean, it's horrible. So, but my cousin reached out to me because she was very interested in what I was doing with my whole Mindful March platform. And she reached out to me yesterday, the day before, and asked me how it went. And my answer to her was good, but I wasn't as productive as I wanted it to be. And, you know, her response to me really made me reflect on the fact that I was really searching for that perfectionism. That I was really searching, like, if it can't be perfect, then I don't want to do it. And I didn't do it, and I failed. And so she, I won't read you the post or the what she texted me. It was a long one, but it basically was saying, well, isn't there something to be said about, because I did say that I was a lot more mindful about, you know, my presence on social media and how much time I was spending on it. And she said, you know, isn't there value in that, as opposed to you don't have to be as productive. And it really made me reflect on that. And I thought, you know what, Shelley, just do it. And I guess that goes to you too, with, you know, just when they're telling you to just make a podcast, just talk about stuff, you know. And I have to remember that, like, it doesn't have to be perfect. I just have to do it, and I just have to show up, and it is what it is, and just accept it for what it is. So, and that's even goes to myself too, you know, like I expect myself to be perfect all the time. I mean, you know, I want my body to be perfect, my nutrition to be perfect, my exercise to be perfect. And I have to take a step back and, you know, like, it's okay. I'm showing up. I'm going to the gym. You know, today I ate healthier. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect all the time. And that acceptance is huge. It's a big deal. And you can grow from that. You know, there's growth in there.
Good enough is good enough. It really is.
Sometimes it is. Yep. Sometimes it is.
One of the most difficult practices for me, and it's mindfulness, but it's to be grateful for what you have.
Right.
Because I am always looking at the next thing, mm-hmm. the next gun, the next bike, the next part, the next something, you know. Oh, my
yeah, you
life.
Like things.
Oh, I do like
you
things.
You do like things.
Oh, I love
mm-hmm.
things.
Yeah.
I love things. I just got my binary trigger for my AR, because that's what I want for my birthday tomorrow, is to go shooting.
Oh, okay.
But I have to put that trigger in today so that I can try my new binary trigger out. Yeah. But no, it's things. I'm always in search of the next thing, and I'm trying so hard to knock that off and to just sit back and be happy about what I have.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, talking to a guy at work a couple days ago, you know, and he's admiring, you know, my setup at work, and he's like, God, that's awesome, man, I wish I had that kind of money. You know, I'm like, you got something, why don't you go with what you got and be happy? You know, like, you have an effective firearm there. It's,
right.
You know, you can shoot. It does everything mine does. Just because mine's got a couple little features and a sexy tack light on it doesn't necessarily mean, well, in a very expensive sight as well, I guess. I don't know. But still, I mean, like, I just wish that I could just get something and be happy. Like, oh, mm-hmm. my God, I got my energy drink today. Oh, I need the perfect koozie.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I am okay with my things being okay. I'm good with that. Like, my biggest thing is the expectation of myself, and you know, the perfect. And I think a lot of women struggle with that as well. You know, like, I want to look perfect. I want to, you know, the body, the weight. I really, really struggle there, and I wish I could find more compassion and gratefulness for what I have there. Because, you know, think about it, like 20 pounds lighter ago, I didn't think I was perfect enough. I didn't think I was good enough, you know, and I wanted to lose 10 more pounds. Well, here I am 20 pounds heavier. Why did I waste that time being so ungrateful for my body back then? And now I'm thinking the same thing, and I'm trying to put myself in that perspective now. Like, well, you know what? You could be 20 pounds heavier than you are right now. Let's find some gratitude and be happy with what you have right now. And but it's really, really hard to find. It's a struggle. And I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to have, there's not many regrets I'm going to have in my life. I can definitely find the positive in all the negative. That I am really, really good about that. What I will regret is wasting my time hating myself so much. That I know will be a very big regret of mine. And I don't want that.
I agree. And I think my regret is going to be wasting the time waiting for the next big thing.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Waiting for the next big thing. Oh, yeah. You know what? Like, I am so pumped right now for next week. We're going to go see the Minnesota Wild play. Like, I will just skip through the next 6 days just to get to that.
To get to that, yeah. And you lose those 6 days.
I lose those 6 days because I'm so focused on, oh, my God, is it here? 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 Guess what? It's coming. It's going to get here no matter what. But it's so hard for me to settle down and be mindful. You know, and like, I'm trying.
Mm-hmm.
God, help me. I'm trying.
Mm-hmm. I have been thinking about, again, a podcast. You know me, my podcast, but a podcast I listened to, this was a very radical thing he had to do in his treatment for his mental health. And he had to, every day, he had to record himself, and he had to send it to his therapist. And I think he had to do it a couple times a day, actually. Record himself speaking to himself nicely and standing in the mirror and talking to himself nicely. And to be accountable, he had to send that to his therapist. And he said it wasn't overnight, but within, I think it was like maybe an eight months or something, the difference in his self-talk, in the dialogue that he had with himself, was dramatically improved, and that he did not have that negative self-talk anymore. But it took a lot of work and a lot of effort to do that every day, and it to cultivate being able to talk to yourself like you would talk to a friend. And how many of us don't do that? You know I don't. If people could hear me talk to myself, they'd be horrified.
Exactly.
Horrified.
Exactly. Dr. F, I have a sticky note on my computer right here that says, be nice.
Yeah.
And it's sitting right over a hand-carved wooden figurine of a hand handing up the middle finger.
I'm better. I know I'm better. For sure I'm better. You know, I mean, from years ago, oh, yeah. I mean, I'm so much more gentle on myself, but... Oh, but there still is so daily. I'm still daily negative about myself. It's not all day long, but I still have that daily negative banter going on in my head.
It's tough. It's tough, you know, because I, you know, that's my thing in my head is, oh, you stupid fuck.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, would I say that to my coworker?
No.
Why am I saying it to me?
Right. Yeah. And you would never say it to me, and I would never say it to you. You know, I would never say it to my kids.
Even if I feel it towards my coworker, I wouldn't say it to my coworker.
You're never saying it, right.
Right. So, yeah. Like, it's so hard.
And why is it okay for us to say it to ourselves? You know, it doesn't, we get nowhere when we speak to ourselves like that. Nowhere. Nothing good will come from that.
Yeah.
You know, we can't motivate ourselves from shame, and that's what we try to do.
Ooh. We try motivate to motivate ourselves from shame?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, and we can't. You can't.
I like that.
Yeah.
Motivate myself from shame. You know, I do that.
Mm-hmm.
I can tangibly think of time. Like, I did that the other day when I was shooting with Will.
Yeah.
Like, oh, don't fuck up. Don't fuck up. Don't fuck up. Like, I wanted to impress him so bad, and there was no way I could make a mistake and be okay with that.
Right.
You know? This guy's, he's Army Ranger and all this shit. He's our lead instructor. And
right.
It was the first time I shot with him, and it was completely motivated by shame. completely motivated
right.
by
and
shame.
How did you do? So how was
I
how
did all right.
Okay.
I did all right. It wound up being one of the greatest sessions of my life, you know, 20 minutes of range time with him, because he made some amazing corrections and threw some knowledge bombs at me that, you know, and that there's a topic for you, because I get really excited about this. The second you think you know everything, you're done.
Right.
You're no longer relevant, right? You have to be a lifelong learner. You have to be a lifelong learner. And I mean, I was a gunfighter by profession. That was my job, to get in gunfights. I was paid to get into gunfights. Like, I'm good at what I do, and I'm confident in my abilities, very confident, but I'm not arrogant in my abilities,
yeah.
because I can always learn, always learn. Every time I've gone to a shooting instructor, I've learned something, even if the lesson was simply don't ever go to that guy again. But you have to mm-hmm. go in with an open mind.
Yeah.
And you have to be willing to try things that aren't comfortable.
That's the thing. And people don't want to be uncomfortable.
Right. Boy, and admit out loud you don't understand or you don't know. Admit it out loud. Check your ego. And
right.
this is the guys. This is really the guys.
Yeah.
And I was totally like, you know, we'll take the wheel. Like, just what you said. All right, I'm going to do it. And then I try to do it, and I couldn't do it because my habits are so ingrained, right? But that's, again, when you do something for a living, you build up muscle memory and all these
right.
things.
Yeah.
And then I actually got sloppy. I changed my pistol grip, right? So I went to what they call a passive grip versus an aggressive grip. And I'm like, yeah, I'm doing fine. Well, you know, worked with Will for 20 minutes and changed back to an active grip or an aggressive grip. And, man, I'm parking rounds on top of each other, you know, 3-inch circle. I'm touching 2 inside a 3-inch circle. That's happy days for me. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, my trigger press, which is something that I constantly harp on people when I'm teaching people how to shoot. And, you know, he got me with pull to the wall, which, if you're not a shooter, I mean, you pull back the trigger until you feel pressure against it, and then you stop, you take a deep breath, and then you say in your head, press. And as you're saying in your head, press, you're pressing. Press the trigger. Don't squeeze, don't jerk, don't slam, don't rock. Press the trigger. And, I mean, he just, you know, just his simple instructions. Take the breath, say the word press as you press.
Mm-hmm.
Night and day. Night and day.
It sounds very mindful.
It is.
I feel like you have to be very mindful when you're shooting, right?
It is. Yeah. There's so many things you're trying to get your body to do in concert,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, you're trying to get your breathing right, your stance right, your grip right, your sight alignment, your sight picture, all these things. And I mean, in the gunfighting world, you have moments, if not milliseconds, to do these things.
To do all of that.
And now you got to add in movement. You know, not only are you getting all these things perfect, but now you're moving laterally, forward, backward,
right.
whatever. So yeah, it's pretty crazy. But
well, that, and then I think you also have to get in, your body is reacting when you're
stress,
actually in
right.
it, the stress, right?
Yeah.
You know, your fight or flight responses start to kick in. And
it's not eustress at that point. It
mm-hmm.
is distress,
mm-hmm.
completely distress
mm-hmm.
at that point.
I can't even imagine.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's just, again, so simple is being mindful and being open to learn.
That's great. I mean, I don't ever want to be that person who isn't willing to learn. You know, I do want to check my ego at the door. And I have found throughout the years, and I can remember when I was younger, you know, I'm a hairstylist, and I can remember going to some of these classes. What are they going to teach me? I already know. You know, I remember that. You know, I mean, we all did that at some point in our lives, you know, and I go now so open, and I love going back to the basics, and I love learning the easy stuff, because you know, again, that muscle memory. And sometimes when you fall out of the right habit and then you start getting that muscle memory of the bad habit, you know, it's good to just start to correct yourself. And sometimes it's going back to the basics. And I think that's pretty cool.
I think that is the most underrated thing in the world, is going back to the basics.
Yeah.
I took, a million years ago, I used to be a firefighter, right? And I went to this basic extrication class, which is where they teach you how to use all the tools to chop up cars, right? And then I went to advanced extrication, and then I went to school bus extrication, and farm tractor extrication and like literally all these different classes, you know, vehicle recognition classes. And then I went again, just because I had CREs, you know, continuing education stuff I had to do at a medical conference. They had a basic extrication class. I'm like, oh, whatever, I'll go to that.
Yeah.
And everyone was mad at me. They're like, why are you going to basic extrication? You're this guru of extrication. Dude, I learned so much because right. this was led by small town people who didn't mm-hmm. have the money to have the big hydraulic equipment yeah. that we had. So they were doing all this stuff with sawzalls and pry bars, and I learned so much at that class. So then the next time another firefighting class opened up for basic extrication, I took it again, and everyone's like, what are you doing?
And yeah.
I am filling my toolbox yeah. with so many lessons.
Yeah.
And I am perfecting basic skills.
Yeah. And there's so much value in that.
Yeah. So you cannot never, ever, ever think that you are above going back to basics.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing when we're willing to listen and like, oh, I know. Oh, the second you find yourself saying that,
yep.
shut up, yep. slam your hand in the car door, do something to get your mind yep. shocked.
There's your warning right
yes.
there.
Yes. Oh, mm-hmm. I know this. I know. Nope. That's when you need to shut
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. But again, now I'm questioning whether or not I'm a perfectionist, because I think when it came to some of my skills, I am a perfectionist.
Yes.
So.
Well, I think there's good qualities to that. I think perfectionism can be good, you know, and I think there's different, like people, I think we often mistake, or I know for myself too, like I would be like, I'm not a perfectionist, because I look around my house sometimes and I'm not that anal. I'm not anal about things. You know, I don't have to have the towel and the perfect, I mean, I guess sometimes I am, but some people have to have all the pencils in a row, and we have to, you know, you're very anal about, and you know, and that's a whole different thing. That's an OCD,
right,
kind of, you know, right? I'm not OCD. So I would have never said I was a perfectionist. But when I really dug down into it and I started going to even like my life coaching and stuff, you know, that came up, and I was like, oh, you know, you're absolutely right. You know? So if you strive for perfection, but know it's okay if you don't get it. And then there's going to be some areas that you're going to be, you know, you want to be perfect in. Like, we need to try our best. We need to show up as our best self. We, you know, because it's important too. But not to beat ourselves up if that expectation isn't, you know, if we don't, you know, that shooting for the, we shoot for the stars and we land on the moon. That's okay. Yeah. That's okay.
One of the coolest lessons I learned in training, this is gunfighting shit again, but guy says, we don't train to perfection, we train to failure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And failure is where we learn.
Yeah.
So we train until we fail, not until we get it right, till we fail. Yeah. And then we train again.
Yeah. I mean, we do learn from our failures.
We do.
You know how to not do it again.
Oh, it was a Thomas Edison. He said, well, I like to think of it, it didn't take me, you know, a million ways to, you know, the millionth and first time he invented the light bulb. And he mm-hmm. said, well, I think of it as I learned a million ways not to make
right.
a light bulb.
And yeah.
I butchered that.
We all know what you're saying.
And so, yes, my perfectionist is upset that I can't communicate.
You didn't get that saying perfect.
I didn't get that
you
saying
failed.
Perfect. I'm
this,
a piece
this,
of shit.
This podcast failed.
Oh, piece of shit. Well, since the podcast failed, I guess we'll wrap this one up. We'll get out there, kick the tires, light the fires. We're going to go fast and not die, because the most important thing in the world is safety third.